Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sound Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday. Real fast, before you jump into things with the guest, if you're looking for wrestling over the next couple of days, tonight, WCWO at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis as usual, RCW in Chatsworth, Georgia, Supreme Wrestling featuring Jason Kincaid in North Vernon, Indiana, Micromania in Las Vegas, Nevada, FGW in Hamilton, Ohio. Tomorrow night, ECCW in Vancouver, D.C., AEW in San Marcos, Texas, EWE in Jeffersonville, Indiana, CWA featuring Casey Carlisle in Little Rock, Arkansas, New Era Wrestling in Shelbyville, Indiana, and GCW happening in Austin, Texas tomorrow. Without any further ado, I want to welcome our guest to the program, his first time with us, Chris Marks. Welcome to the show.
I appreciate you having me on.
Our pleasure to have you. And since it's your first day with this, we will start you out with the traditional first-timer question. What got you into the business of professional wrestling?
I've always been a fan. My dad got me into it real young and exposed me to the business real young. I've always really enjoyed it. I've never gotten jaded as a fan, which I think a lot of people do. And when the opportunity came for me to be able to participate, I jumped on it. So it wasn't a question as to whether or not I was going to participate. Once I found out that was a possibility, I went right for it.
You are very active here in several promotions in the Pacific Northwest, and you are active not only as a singles wrestler, but as a tag team competitor, but you recently in the last few months had a problem with one of your normal tag team partners, Randy Zellers. Can you tell us what caused the dissolve of that tag team?
Well, as I'm sure you're aware, I'm a rather large man, but despite my size and strength, you can only carry somebody for so long before it becomes exhausting and tiresome on the soul. So I wouldn't so much as say we had a problem and that we separated as much as I'd say I dropped some dead weight.
Are you been a part of a few tag teams over the course of your career, do you find yourself having a personal preference when it comes to tag team wrestling or singles wrestling?
I have a tendency to lean towards singles wrestling because when you're in a tag team, you have to rely on somebody else to help get the job done, and more often than not, people end up being unreliable. So I'd rather just trust in myself to accomplish what I know I can accomplish and not have to look at somebody else and wonder what they were thinking at the moment, why they dropped the ball. I'd rather just take care of business myself if I have the opportunity to do so.
One of the places that you're a regular competitor for is Northwest Pro, and there at Northwest Pro is where you and Randy Zellers have had the issues. They recently had an all-steel cage show. It was their first ever one. What do you think about Northwest Pro having every match in the confines of a steel cage?
Actually, that was the fourth all-steel cage show since I've been with the company. They tend to do one a year. A year or so back, they did one at Cheney Stadium for a rally for the troops as well. So it's not the first time that we've done the whole steel cage show. If fans of our company missed that, they just got to wait for another go around. We'll have another one next year. As far as how I feel about the matches being in an all steel cage, that's an environment that I think that I thrive in. Again, I'm a bigger guy. I like to use my power game. And when the guys have a tendency to run away and try to get away from that, being within that steel cage really gives me an opportunity to make them face me one-on-one and not be able to do all the evading and the running and all that nonsense. So I enjoy it. It's an environment where I thrive.
Now, at that particular all-cage show, there was a changing of the championship. Johnny Proof lost that title to Guerrero Azteca, who will return next month to Northwest Pro, I believe, to defend that title in a rematch. What do you think of the Northwest Pro Championship going from Johnny Proof to Guerrero Azteca?
Well, first and foremost, I blame that loss on poor officiating, because that was clearly a fast count. Johnny got robbed in that match. Guerrero Azteca is going to show up next month. He's going to face Johnny again, and really, the sham is going to be revealed. Johnny's not going to lose. Johnny's not going to take another L. He gives L's. That's what he does. He takes dubs. So as far as Guerrero Azteca is concerned, I hope that he has cradled that title, and I hope that he's loved it, and I hope that it's really meant something to him, because next month when he faces Johnny again, he's going to lose it.
One of the other places where you are a regular is returning after a few months of hiatus, that being Reactivate Pro Wrestling. They run in the Tri-Cities area in Washington, specifically in Richland. They are a relatively new company, but they seem to be making a lot of big waves, bringing in a lot of great talent. What are your impressions thus far of Reactivate Pro?
Well, earlier in my career, Mikey Selick and I had some beef, and I can credit Reactivate not only letting me wrestle in front of my home crowd, because that's my home turf over there in the Tri-Cities, but also in letting me squash that beef with Mikey Selick. And I don't mean squash it in a buddy-buddy, let's hug it out kind of way. I mean them letting us have a hardcore match. That street fight was the first stipulated match in Reactivate's history, and I think we put on a pretty good show for the fans over there. They seem to enjoy me destroying Mikey finally after a lot of nonsense in the first couple of outings that we had. As far as them being a newer company, that's accurate, but they do have a lot of quality leadership. I think that they're going to go far as long as they keep up with a positive model and bringing in quality talent like yours truly.
You mentioned Mikey the Mustache Selick. He lost his dress last show at Northwest Pro. He was forced to wear a dress wherever he wrestled due to contractual stipulations in a match. He lost that. No longer is forced to wear the dress. I know you weren't on the card last time at Northwest Pro, but were you keeping tabs on that situation with Mikey? Because I know you've been involved with him off and on over the last year or so.
I keep myself apprised of every situation. If I'm not actively in the ring, I'm watching what's happening at all times. So, yes, I saw that Mikey lost the dress. Really, that was a bunch of nonsense in the first place that was forced on him by Commissioner Hamblin and YT Jones. So, it's about time that somebody of his caliber gets treated professionally and reasonably. He and I might have had some beef at one point, and we might have not seen eye to eye at one point, but I think we're more aligned now after beating the hell out of each other several times than we once were. So I think that it was kind of a a travesty to begin with that he had to prostrate around in that stupid dress and be embarrassed. Yeah, he's a talent, and I think that the Northwest Pro crowd is going to be seeing that here real soon.
One of the things that wrestlers nowadays do to make a lot of their income outside of just wrestling in the ring is merchandising. I know you've come out with some merchandise yourself, and from what I can ascertain, it's been selling fairly well. What do you think of the merchandising part of professional wrestling now, as far as how important it is for a wrestler to maintain such?
Well, you know, it's a good opportunity for the guys to make some extra funds. You know, it's always been something that, that's been part of the indie scene. I remember as a kid going to shows and seeing the same merch table that I sit at now. So I think that it's a good opportunity that the promoters give the boys to make some money. You mentioned my merchandise specifically. I'm going to kind of go off on a side piece here. The design that I use on the shirt that I sell at the shows right now was created by a local comic book artist in Tacoma. He actually does a lot of the graphic design for some really popular titles, including Voltron and G.I. Joe and Vampirella. And he designed my logo for me. I really appreciated him working on that for me. But another segue, I actually have a pretty big announcement to make, and you asking me that question kind of prompts me into going into that announcement right now. So if you don't mind, I'm going to take a minute and make my announcement, yeah?
Absolutely.
As many of your listeners might know, recently a very major online retailer changed some of their policies and have allowed some local workers and independent wrestlers to have access to creating shops on their website. So I'm making the formal announcement right here on your show today that as of 8 a.m. this morning, the Chris Marks merchandise shop on Pro Wrestling Tees opened for business. You can go to prowrestlingtees.com/NWP Chris Marks. I'll have the link on my Facebook page. There are three shirts available on there right now, and one of them is a completely unique, never-before-released design of my own making. It is available on there right now, so you guys should go check that out. It's a pretty cool web store and everything like that, and that's a great opportunity for the guys as well now that that's available to us, because that kind of gets a more major marketplace for us to sell those items.
That is big news for sure. Pro Wrestling Tees, a huge, huge online presence. So good job for you getting involved with them, and best of luck on the merchandise at prowrestlingtees.com. And I think we should shout out to Matt Nix while we're at it, since, you know, he and his crew over there are doing a fine job making Pro Wrestling Tees a force in the industry.
Certainly, I don't disagree with that. The process was very painless. They give you all the opportunity in the world, so I appreciate everything that they are offering me right now.
Now, besides your fine merchandise, which, like I said, I understand sells very well, I'm sure you've seen a wide variety of merchandise available at merchandise stands all over the Pacific Northwest. From what you have observed, what would you say are some of the more interesting pieces of merchandise that fans can take home with them?
Well, at Northwest Pro specifically, the ownership and the management there have designed several individual unique pieces of Northwest Pro branded merchandise. I've seen everything from sweatpants to t-shirts to hats, and that stuff seems to sell really well. The fans really like that because it's showing support to the company and not a specific individual, which sometimes they prefer. The logos are great. A little shout out to Huddle Designs for doing a lot of the logos and whatnot for that. You know, they get logos from all over the place, and they've really got some creative stuff out on the table right now. I'm sure you're familiar with Gorgeous Gary Galaxy, yes?
I'm familiar, yes.
Yeah, so I've been on a show or two with him, taking one of his seminars. He's a good guy. I like his approach to his merchandise is very good as well. He's got a lot of unique items. From, you know, he's got the basic t-shirts all the way to DVDs and things like that. So I think that's kind of one of the things that guys in the area are starting to focus on is getting highlight videos together and recordings of some of their better matches and putting them on DVD and selling those at the shows. I think that's a good seller right now too.
We have a game we play on this show. I think you're a perfect candidate for this. We call it Word Association. I will throw out the names of some people that you most likely have come across in your career, and the first word that pops into your mind is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of Word Association?
Sure.
Here we go. First name, Goblin.
Let's see. Eccentric.
J.D. Mason.
Professional and diehard worker.
S.P.H.
Motivated.
J.B. Moonshine.
You mean other than intoxicated, right?
Right. Ken Hamlin.
Ken Hamlin. I'm going to go with Misaligned.
Chuck Payne.
Classic.
CJ Stokes.
Let's go with Dedicated on that one.
Tomcat Jones.
Punching Bag? Is that fair?
We can go with that. Randy Zellers.
I think that was a trick there. You let me use Punching Bag before we got to Randy Zellers. And I think calling him dead weight would just be monotonous and redundant. So let's go with Relic.
Last name, Jeff Orcutt.
Underappreciated.
One of the other promotions where you are a regular is Combat Pro Wrestling up in Marysville, Washington. And at this most recent event a couple of weeks ago, you were being managed by a fellow masked person. I understand his name is the Managing Freak. What can you tell us about the affiliation between yourself and the Managing Freak?
Really, on that, I got no comment. He is doing his business right now with Team Jeff. Team Jeff assigned him to me. We're going to make things happen together. Just like at the last show that you just mentioned, we made something happen, and that is me becoming number one contender for the International Championship at round 21.
Now, you were assigned by Team Jeff to have the Managing Freak there. When you get to the standard CPW show, are there internal Team Jeff meetings to have management assigned, or is that something that is planned out well ahead of time and you knew weeks going in that you would have the Managing Freak with you?
Let me give you this background before I answer that question. I think you know, like fans of Combat Pro know, that I was once on Team Yvonne. We all make mistakes in our past. I'm just going to move on after that. The difference between being on Team Yvonne and being on Team Jeff is being on Team Jeff is like being in a family. It's not just business as usual. We don't just go into the shows, have a little quick meeting, and then go out and do our business. We're in constant communication with one another. We are constantly planning, plotting, doing our thing. So whether or not that got assigned the night of, or 2 weeks beforehand, or it's been a master plan since before I even got on Team Jeff in the first place, really that's nobody's business but ours. What's really important is that with Team Jeff, I'm going to move forward into the future. I'm going to become international champion at round 21 because I've got Sideshow's number, and we're going to continue moving forward, and we're going to take back the Combat Pro Heavyweight Championship as well. JB Moonshine can count his days numbered as champion.
All right. Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure he has several questions as well, so I'll pass things over to him.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Chris.
How's it going?
Not too bad. Chris, I saw your YouTube video entitled Episode 4, Chris Marks, Lumberjack, J.D. Mason versus the Cool Heels at Malcolm Flex. My first question is, does it already seem that it has been since September 29th of last year that this took place?
You know, the dates with Reactivate are not as frequent as other companies, but the shows seem pretty grand when you're there. So, no, it doesn't seem like it's been that long to me. What's a little fresher in my mind is the match that we had against the Cool Heels at Episode 5. And really, that was the better occasion because we didn't have all the chaos happening outside the ring. We didn't have all the distractions, and Zach and I were able to get the job done.
Well, in that video, in Episode 4, it looked like the fans were pretty close to the ring. Were there any, do you recall any fan incidents at this event? Because they were very close.
From what I understand, watching the Reactivate crew do their setup, they're very meticulous in ensuring that the required distance between the edge of the ring and the fans is upheld. They've got guard railings out there for safety purposes. So at Episode 4, no, I can't recall any fan interaction happening as far as anything in the negative with them being too close to the ring. I will say, though, as a side note, at an earlier episode of Reactivate, there was a match involving the Black Sheep, Dave Turner. Dave Turner, at some point during the match, literally moved the guardrail out of his way and went into the crowd. So if you come to a Reactivate show, there's a good opportunity for you to be up close and personal to the talent, sometimes closer than you might actually desire.
Holy smokes. Okay. All right. Is the Joker's Comedy Club one of the better venues that you have wrestled at? Because that Episode 4 did take place at that Joker's Comedy Club.
It is a great venue. They offer a lot of benefits to a show like ours. And the management there at Reactivate has a pretty close relationship to the venue. So I think that's going to be their home for quite a while. It is a great venue. As far as it being one of the greater venues I've performed at, I'd say it's at least in the top three or four. Performing at Cheney Stadium in front of a big crowd was really impressive for me, so that one's kind of at the top of my list. And then always loved performing at the Key Peninsula Civic Center with Northwest Pro. That's a great venue.
Yes, you mentioned the tribute to the troops at Cheney Stadium. Do you recall how big of a crowd that was?
From what I understand, from the opening gate to the closing gate, they had somewhere in the neighborhood of 4,600 people there.
Holy smoke. And was there indeed any veterans there? Any veterans?
I would imagine most of the people that came in and out of the gate were veterans. That event is They have changed it now. It's a different type of show, but it's the same vein. The whole intent of that show is to raise money for Operation Warp 52, which is a veterans benefit group. They not only support military veterans, but also firefighting veterans and police veterans. At the time, it was a big rock show. They had several bands play, and our participation in that show with Northwest Pro was between each band set, we would take the ring and we would have matches. So, you know, we performed our main event, and then right after our main event, Drowning Pool took the stage and did a whole concert at the end of the night. So,
wow. Now, do you yourself use any entrance music from Drowning Pool?
I don't. I don't. The entrance music that I use is made for me. It's mixed by a DJ friend of mine in Dallas, Texas. So I don't use Drowning Pool, but I do enjoy their music.
Oh, wow. Dallas, Texas. When was the last time you were in Dallas, Texas, or Texas in general?
I would say the last time I was in that area was in 2007. I did military training down there for 4 months.
Oh, okay. Can you tell us what branch of the service?
I served in both the Navy and the Army. I did 15 years.
Wow, in the Navy. Can you tell us if you were ever on a flat top?
I spent my entire Navy career on flat top. I was in a helicopter squadron.
Wow, very good. Did you yourself, a flat top. That can also apply to amphibious assault carriers. Were you on an amphibious assault carrier?
I was in the Navy for just a little more than 5 years, and in that time I was on the USS Abraham Lincoln, which is an aircraft carrier. I was on the Carl Vinson, which is an aircraft carrier. I was on the USS Bonhomme Richard, which is an LHD, which is an amphibious landing assault carrier. And then I bounced around to several different destroyers for different missions.
Wow, very, very impressive. Now, the Abraham Lincoln just got extended, and I believe they are going to complete, because of the tensions in the Middle East, they're about to complete a little over a nine-month deployment, because the other aircraft carriers in the Navy are either deployed elsewhere, or there are some of them in dry dock with extended maintenance problems. So the Abraham Lincoln, the captain on the ship, I've got my Navy sources. They just announced that they were extended. Boy,
mm-hmm.
That's a tough job. Yeah.
So when I was on the Abraham Lincoln, when I got assigned to that ship, the ship was already deployed. So I reported to my duty station in California. They flew me to Australia, which is where the ship was ported for a visit at the time. And then I was flown out to the boat because they were out of port when I got there. That deployment was the 10-month deployment that they did to start Operation Iraqi Freedom. That ended with President George Bush landing on the carrier and doing the mission accomplished speech. So the Abraham Lincoln is no stranger to extended deployments, I can tell you that much.
Wow. Do you think you yourself will someday wrestle on the tag team called extended deployment?
Somehow I doubt it.
Oh. Okay. How are the sliders on the Abraham Lincoln? The sliders?
Not too bad. A little known fact about Navy vessels, except for people that were in the Navy itself, is that the carriers get, if I'm remembering correctly, second or third pick of the precious food when the resupply ships come out. The submarines usually get first pick. So the food isn't too bad. But when I was on the Bonhomme Richard, their galley actually is by order. So you don't go down there for a mealtime. You go down there and fill out a form, and that's what you get to eat. So by far, that was the better galley. But sliders aren't too bad. Can't complain about them.
Well, okay. All right. All right. Well, now, in that episode 4 video, was this the first time that Al Tubbs has been a manager of a team that you wrestled against? Is that the first time Al Tubbs was going against you as manager?
That's accurate, yes.
Wow. Okay. All right. What did you think of Al Tubbs' total red suit that he wore? Would you describe him as a fashionable dresser?
It made him a good target when I was on the outside of the ring, and he got in my way.
Yes, he did slightly get in your way, yes.
I think yes. He still feels that that right hand I gave him, too.
Well, Chris, at the 3:56 mark of the match, Lumberjack tagged you in, and your first move was a Hulk Hogan leg drop. Were you a big fan of Hulk Hogan?
I guess that would depend on what time period we're talking about. You can't deny what Hogan did for our business and for the industry as a whole. So you can't really have much hate in your heart for Hogan. He was doing what was best for him at the time, but it also happened to be amazing for the business. Was I a fan of Hogan when I was a kid? Absolutely. There's a story I've told on another podcast about actually having a picture in a magazine with Hogan when I was real young. But as I grew up and I learned more about the business and exposed myself to more of the business, I started leaning more towards more technical wrestlers than the big powerhouse guys, which I guess is ironic now that that's the style that I wrestle in. But I wouldn't say that by the time I really educated myself in the business and knew what I was looking at, I wouldn't say he would be in my top 10. But yes, he's an icon. You can't deny what he did for the business. I was a fan of his. So yes, I was a fan.
I'm going to say your favorite Hulk Hogan era was when he turned heel and joined the NWO. And he was known as Hulk Hogan.
From my current perspective, I would agree with you. It was a smart move on his part. He finally stopped caring what the peons in the crowd had to say and did what was best for him completely. And in the process of doing so, revolutionized the business. When you stop caring about what other people think about you and what other people want you to do and start caring about yourself and what's best for you, you gain a modicum of success, I would say. He's a classic example of that.
Oh, okay. All right. I kind of sense that. Yes. Okay. Very good. All right. Well, Chris, the Lumberjack and J.D. Mason both bring about, I'd say, 500 to 505 pounds of weight to every team they tag on, yet they both seem to have cruiserweight speed. My question is, how valuable of an asset is this? Because you yourself are similar in height and weight as Lumberjack and JD.
I would agree with you on that point when it comes to JD Mason. He is a bigger guy, has the size and the strength, but can move like a cruiserweight. I agree with you there. As far as Lumberjack goes, that guy's all power. I don't know if you've ever been in his presence or been around him while he's actually in the ring. He's not the Lumberjack for no reason. The guy can fell a tree in a couple of hits. So I don't know if I would say he moves like a cruiserweight or has the speed of a cruiserweight, but he does have that explosiveness. I agree with you on that point. As far as those things being an asset, of course they are. Of course they are. They're absolutely assets. When you have size and speed and agility, you're not going to go wrong.
Well, gentlemen, we have another caller, and I believe this is someone that Chris Marks does know. Do we have the other caller on the line with us?
Yes. Managing, please.
Chris Marks, your manager, the managing freak, has joined us.
Welcome to the show, then, I suppose.
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
I'm doing excellent.
That's good. Just wanted to get on here and tell the people that I'll be in at CPW, Marysville, February 8th.
It's going to be a monumental night in CPW's history. If I am envisioning things correctly, JB Moonshine is going to be shamed as the new champion because he's going to be found out to not be a champion that can hold his own. And yours truly is going to be crowned the new international champion. So I think it'll be a great night for Team Jeff specifically, but CPW as a whole, because when Team Jeff does well, CPW does well.
That's right. You're going to be the new international champion. And then from there on, after that, then we're going to take the AB title.
Well, Chris, with your manager here, I know that you made the big announcement earlier about the merchandise going on ProWrestlingTees.com. Now, they opened up the restrictions a little bit there. ProWrestlingTees.com made it a little bit easier for people to get merchandise up in their stores. But I noticed that the announcement does come on the heels of the managing freak managing you at CPW. I know he was assigned to you, like you told us. But is there any correlation between managing freak managing you and the Pro Wrestling Tee store?
I think the best answer to that question is the way that Team Jeff does business is Team Jeff's business. So he may have had a hand in that. He may have gotten some paperwork signed, dotted some I's, crossed some T's. But the important thing to point out here is that we're moving on to bigger and better things. Pro Wrestling Tees is just the first step towards a much bigger plan in the long run. So,
fair enough. Managing Freak, I noticed that you were wearing a Chris Mark shirt at CPW when you came to the ring with him. Now that this merchandise is on a big, big website like ProWrestlingTees.com, can we presume that you'll be wearing even more Chris Mark's merchandise in the future as he continues to crank out the T-shirts?
I just may. You just never know what I might be wearing. I'm going to be wearing Chris Mark's T-shirts. You never know. I may even start wearing his mask. You never know.
What I know is that on February 8th at Round 21, I'm going to be wearing something new, and it's the International Championship.
Well, that's an important title, Managing Freak. Would you take Chris Marks wearing the title as, you know, an equal to being able to wear the Chris Marks T-shirt, the Chris Marks mask?
I'll wear whatever Chris Marks wants me to wear as far as Chris Marks merchandise. It doesn't matter. The important thing is, first and foremost, is he is going to be the international champion on February 8th. And then after that, who knows what other titles he's going to have. But we're there to win titles.
Fair enough. Well, QT, if you have some more questions, go right ahead.
Yes. Chris, I was noticing your beautiful lucha mask in that video. Did you yourself make your own lucha mask?
I had a hand in the design. I didn't sew it myself, if that's what you're asking. But there is a new one in the works, actually. So, despite how much I enjoy the face they show the world right now, the new and improved version will be all that much more glorious.
Wow, very good. Okay. Well, Chris, I froze the video at the 450 mark, and I'd encourage all our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners to also freeze it. You can see the extensive right elbow pad that you wear. In the past, had you suffered any elbow injuries?
You know, I'm glad you pointed that out. I have not suffered any elbow injuries. That right elbow has taken the heads off more people than I'd like to admit in the open public. So that elbow pad isn't for my protection. It's for other people's protection.
Oh, all right. In your opinion, how good are the Northwest referees in checking that elbow pad before a match? Do you have any complaints?
No. I think that the referees that we have in the Pacific Northwest are some of the most talented referees in the business. If you need any further example of that, look at Aubrey Edwards. She's a Northwest, Pacific Northwest product, and now she's excelling to higher ground. So I think our referees and our talent in the Pacific Northwest is second to none. The referees do a fine job, despite my opinion of them otherwise at times.
Oh, at times. Okay. All right. Good enough. Well, Chris, last week, J.D. Mason was presented two fruit pies for being the Turnbuckle Turmoil number one Northwest ranked wrestler. How big would it be for you to be ranked number one by Turnbuckle Turmoil and thus the coveted fruit pie winner for the week?
Let me answer that this way. I like fruit pies as much as the next guy. Okay? Fruit pies are great. Can't complain about fruit pies. Whether or not it's very important to me to be ranked number one Turnbuckle Turmoil or on any roster or ranking for that matter, really it's not. A long time ago, when I first started in this business, I cared a whole lot about what the fans thought of me. I cared solely about what the fans thought of me. Everything that I did was to entertain them, was to bring them joy, accomplish their goals as much as my own. But recently, I've found that if you play for number one, you find a lot more success and happiness in life. So really, whether I care or not about what other people think of me, that time is long gone. If, perchance, I earn that spot because I am the best, then good for me. I'll be happy to take the fruit pies. I'll be happy to take the adulation. Do I want it? Do I need it? Do I crave it? Absolutely not, because I know I'm the best, and that's all that matters.
What if our staff of Turnbuckle Turmoil were to up the ante and offer a White Claw hard seltzer along with a fruit pie? Would it be more, mean more to you? White Claw hard seltzer.
I imagine that the fact that you asked that question means that you haven't seen any of the work I've done with Real Talk Rashad. Is that accurate?
Rashad Tyson?
That's correct.
Yes.
He's a big fan of that White Claw. That's half of his dietary supplement, I think. And honestly, I think that stuff is piss in a can. So I don't know if that would up the ante at all. The fruit pies were your better bet, the better offer there.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Chris, who do you think would win in a manager versus manager match? Like a manager versus manager Hell in a Cell match? Al Tubbs or Y period T period Jones?
You know, Al Tubbs might have the size, but Y period T period Jones is the owner of Northwest Pro for a reason. He's a cross state and international star for a reason, despite the fact that he doesn't get in the ring very often. So while Al Tubbs might have the size advantage, YT Jones has all the other advantages. So I have no doubt in my mind that at the end of the night, the Northwest Pro ownership would be standing tall and Al Tubbs would not be. Very similar to when I decked him in the face when he got in my way at episode 4.
Wow. All right. I'm going to mark down Y period, T period right there. Okay. All right. And my last question, both Sangai and myself saw Christopher Ryzik and Randy Zellers battle at the Vaughn Civic Center last weekend. Randy Zellers got the win. He managed to grab the Ideal Reflections mirror and check himself out. Have you yourself ever come in possession of Christopher Ryzik's mirror in a match against Christopher Ryzik?
So, a little dip into my history. When I started in this business, when I got my feet in a wrestling ring for the very first time as a trainee, it was with Pinnacle Wrestling, and Christopher Ryzik was one of the more senior guys there at the time. So I have been around Christopher Ryzik as long as I have been in the business. Whether I've got my hands on his mirror in a match or not, he and I usually see pretty eye to eye on things, so I've never had to have a match against him other than one occasion last year around Christmas time. We had our very first match against one another, and I didn't get my hands on his mirror, but I got my hands on him, and at the time, that's all that mattered to me.
Wow. Okay. Boy, I wish I would have seen that match. Yes. Boy, that's something. Okay. All right. Well, back to you, Sangai.
Thank you, QT. Well, Chris, one of the things that you may not be known for as prominently as some of the other wrestlers is submissions. Submission wrestling has become more and more popular as the advent of MMA infiltrated pro wrestling. I know you do have submission holds in place. What do you think about the submission-based pro wrestling?
That's an aptly timed question, actually. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to give you the answer you're looking for. I'm just going to say stay tuned to the immediate future for more on that question.
Fair enough. All right. Now, we have one more game on the show I think would be perfect for you. We call it Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk. I'll give you a series of two options, and the one that you most prefer is the answer. Are you prepared for a round to Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk?
You broke up when you were giving me the rules. Run over them one more time for me.
I will give you a series of two options, and the one that you prefer is the answer.
All right.
All right, here we go. Boots or shoes and kick pads?
Boots.
Leg drop or elbow drop?
Elbow drop.
Triple A or New Japan?
Triple A.
Water or Gatorade?
Water.
DC or Marvel?
Marvel.
Popeyes or Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A.
Submission or pinfall?
Pinfall. Shows the dominance.
Manager or valet?
Everybody likes some eye candy. Valets are nice.
John Cena or John Nord?
My answer to that question is always going to be whatever the other option is from John Cena. So
we'll go John Nord. Well, of course, you and the Managing Freak are part of Team Jeff, as we stated earlier. Jeff actually captured a championship at the last CPW show. He is the new grappling champion in a very, very, very hard-fought contest with Rodeo. What did you think of Jeff becoming the grappling champion?
Are you referring to round 20? Because if you're referring to round 20, he defended the title at that show. He captured that title at round 19.
Correct. He captured it there and then defended it against Rodeo, whom he defeated in a very, very grueling contest.
And of course he did. He's not the captain of Team Jeff for no reason. There's a whole plethora of very talented people just underneath Jeff in the hierarchy of Team Jeff, and we didn't line up underneath of them for no reason. He's a brilliant mind, and he's talented in the ring, and he proves that by wearing that strap around his shoulder or his waist, whichever looks better with the jersey he's wearing that night, and he'll continue to do so for as long as he feels like it.
All right. Well, we have a few minutes left in the show. I want to make sure everyone gets to plug and promote what they want. Managing Freaks, since you're still with us, if you want to plug or promote anything you have, go right ahead.
Oh, as always, we'll be at CPW on February 8th. And I do want to point out that Chris Marks is the favorite to win. He's my favorite to win, and he's going to be the best he can be. He's going to do what he has to do to win that title, and then he's going to go out from there. We're with Team Jeff, and Team Jeff has the best men on the roster.
All right, Chris Marks, if there's anything you want to say to the fans, plug and promote anything and everything, the social media, merchandise, upcoming appearances, your favorite board game, floor is all yours.
I do have a little list here. So CPW has been getting the love, Round 21, Red Curtain Foundation for the Arts, February 8th at 7, that's in Marysville. We've discussed that at length. Northwest Pro has a massive show coming up. It's called Level Ground. It's in Vaughan at the Key Peninsula Civic Center. It's on Saturday, February 29th at 7. The doors open at 6:30, and the management's been throwing some pre-shows around lately, so if you get there at 7, you might miss some of the action before you even sit down. At that show, Northwest local celebrity Steve Miggs is going to be making his debut at Northwest Pro. He's going to be taking on J.D. Mason. I have a feeling Miggs has got the edge there. There's also going to be a triple threat match for the Washington State Championship. J.B. Moonshine is going to be taking on the Lumberjack, and they'll both be losing to Chuck Payne. Reactivate's having a show. That's Sunday, February 23rd. That's their return to Joker's Comedy Club. We'll see what we got in store there. Those are the more recent shows that I'm going to be appearing at. As far as social media and whatnot, I can be reached at T as in Tango, 1, Chris Marks at gmail.com. I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/Chris Marks. I'm on Instagram, KMarks_NWP, and Twitter at NWP Chris Marks. Again, Pro Wrestling Tee store just opened this morning. There's a brand new, unreleased, never before available shirt that's on there. It's great. It's cool. You check it out. You can get on there by going to prowrestlingtees.com/NWP Chris Marks. And last thing, I am a collar and elbow sponsored athlete. I've been sponsored by them since 2016. If you use the promo code T is in Tango, 1 Chris Marks, just like my Gmail account, you will get a discount when you purchase thing on collar and elbow. They're a great website. Their clothes are great. Go check them out.
All right. Well, Chris Marks, I want to thank you for being the guest today. Managing Freak, thank you for calling in and checking in on your client as well. And fans, definitely, if you get a chance to see Chris Marks, buy a ticket, go see him. He's in several Northwest promotions. Always a great, great match. Definitely buy the merchandise. He's got a great line of it, so you can't go wrong there. And then as we conclude today, I want to point out that we lost several people within the wrestling community in the last week and a half or so, among them Kendo Nagasaki, who was a wrestler in the NWA and WCW and World Class Championship Wrestling in the 80s and 90s. We also lost just this week Rocky Johnson, the father of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, longtime professional wrestler, son-in-law of Peter Maivia. He was also a staple up here in the Pacific Northwest for Don Owen for quite a while. There have been a couple of others as well. So in honor of all that we lost in the last few days, including Pampero Furpo early in this month, Pampero Furpo would be remembered by longtime fans in a lot of the territories. And for anyone that listens to the Jim Cornette drive-thru. But as we pay homage to them, we will hit the 10-bell salute. And we'll be back with you Sunday afternoon with the Spud Brothers Coalition. And then a week from today, one of the aforementioned Northwest Pro competitors, J.D. Mason. So make sure you tune in and join us. And here is the 10-bell as we salute those that we've lost this month.